Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
First on the topsy-turvy politics of that world, the political junkie is with us from outside of Washington. Ken, welcome back. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Carrie. I don't know what's scarier, the CIA report about Russia or the weather in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
Oh my.
Getting really
oh my.
Cold here. Since you've mentioned the CIA and some of the reaction this morning, you know that President-elect Trump is now tweeting today. It's very hard to determine who was doing the hacking. He adds that if his campaign had lost the election and we tried to play the Russia CIA card, it would be called conspiracy theory. What do you want to say about the way that
he's... Wait.
Yeah.
But he...
Yes.
Wow. I mean, I you know why, by the way, in your previous segment, I really appreciated the emails that came into you, because there is a wide swath of opinion out there about Republicans and Democrats, Trump and non-Trump. But for him to say, I would have complained about the election when he was talking about a rigged election all along, as it turned out, Donald Trump was probably right. There was a rigged election, but coming from Moscow.
Yeah. So, and now Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell held a press conference today, and he's condemning what he calls any foreign meddling to influence the U.S. election. So here's one of the key things here. Donald Trump is saying he's not believing the intelligence briefings that he's getting. Mitch McConnell apparently is. And there is this very broad difference between the two Republican leaders who are about to serve together in a month. What does that tell you? What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't tell us anything new, because historically, you know, you go back to World War II, the Republican Party was always the anti-Soviet, anti-Russian party, determined to rid the world of communism. And the thought of Donald Trump saying one nice things about Vladimir Putin, two, dismissing any role that Russia may have played in the election, it's just remarkable. And obviously, when you have people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and maybe even Rand Paul and Jeff Flake and other Republicans saying we've got to look at this, not so we can embarrass Donald Trump, but wouldn't you want to know if a foreign power was trying to influence the election? And when Donald Trump says, look, you know, I it could be some guy on his couch in New Jersey who's that's what he said, who could
he
be
said that during the debate, do, yeah.
He did really said that. But look, you know, and then he said yesterday on Fox, he said, look, I don't have time to take the daily intelligence briefing, because honestly, I mean, how can you be the executive producer or the Celebrity Apprentice and take intelligence briefing at the same time? There are priorities in this Congress.
I thought, Ken, that this was an interesting graph from a New York Times story about what you're talking about. It says, at this point in a transition, a president-elect is usually delving into intelligence he's never before seen and learning about CIA and national security agency abilities. But Mr. Trump, who has taken intelligence briefings only sporadically, is questioning not only analytic conclusions, but also their underlying facts. He's also saying things like, I'm a smart person. I don't need to be told the same thing day after day from our intelligence agencies. What does all that mean?
Well, you know, look, he also said that I'm smarter than the generals, and then named three or four generals to his administration and his cabinet. But you know something, for somebody like Donald Trump, who admittedly, and he'll be the first to say it, did not come from a world of politics, did not come from a world of elected office, he, if anybody, would think that he would want these kind of intelligence briefings, because there's so much he doesn't know. But he did make a point that probably resonates with a lot of Americans, and saying that these are the same guys who gave us weapons of mass destruction with Iraq in 2002 and Saddam Hussein. So obviously, you know, they're out that they had bad information then. They probably have bad information now. But that, you know, when you combine that with the possibility of nominating Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, who has a history of cozy relationships with Putin and Russia, it's just mind-boggling and mind-scratching. And not that anything has not been mind-boggling and mind-scratching in the past, but nothing changes, and it just continues.
Mind-boggling and head-scratching, isn't that what you mean?
Head-scratching, right.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think mind-scratching.
You're scratching your mind, too.
I am, believe me. I am.
Enough about that.
I'm through the head already. I'm through the head. It's already reached the brain.
All right, my friend, on to the mystery sound of the week. And it applies to what we've been talking about. So listen.
The problem here is that Trump is making this claim, making this analogy to the Iraq War, without any basis for questioning the intelligence on Russia's hacking of our political institutions. So it's not as if he has looked at the body of intelligence and drawn a different conclusion. Far from it. He is basing his conclusion solely on the fact that he doesn't want it to be true. It's not in his political interest to be true. And that's a frightening thing, because it means that if candidate Donald Trump will ignore the intelligence as he did, President-elect will ignore the intelligence as he's doing now, it means that President Trump, when the intelligence community shares good, solid reporting, is going to ignore that when it doesn't suit his interests. And that's a dangerous thing for the country.
Who is that, and what do you think about the implications of what he's saying, Ken?
I don't know who that is. I agree with every single word that was said. This is—it's just a frightening thought that somebody to dismiss intelligence brief. I mean, look, you can make the case that we made mistakes. The intelligence community made mistakes. Whether we had tainted evidence with Saddam Hussein, or whether the Bush administration picked and chose what it wanted. But I think the point is very good. But I don't know who the mystery person is.
Congressman Adam Schiff.
Yeah. Now he is a Democrat. He is the leading Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee.
Right.
You could make the case that, well, the Democrats are trying to make this a partisan issue. And that's exactly what McCain and other Republicans don't want. And even Mitch McConnell said this should not be a partisan issue. As Americans, we would want to know what was going on. But look at what we saw in the hacking of information. We saw during the Democratic convention, we saw DNC emails being hacked, which led to the forced resignation of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We saw hacks into John Podesta's emails that talked about Hillary Clinton's speeches to Wall Street and all these embarrassing things. We have not heard anything about any hacks into Republican emails or Republican information, and that may have happened. But the fact is, we got no leaks out of it. So just going by what was released from hacked emails and hacked information, you can make the case that this was aimed at the Democratic Party. And this was why and not only Adam Schiff, but Republicans as well say an investigation needs to be done.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie, is with us. If you have a question, you can tweet it to me, @CarrieMPR. And a call here for you, Ken, from Audrey in Minneapolis. And Audrey, what do you want to know? Hi.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Ken. Well, given all the evidence that we have that this man is actually not qualified to be president and does not have the temperament, he didn't have it before the election and all the Republicans said so. And now after the election, it's even scarier because he is acting like a 12-year-old emotionally, and he is not taking this job very seriously. I think Republicans are kind of annoyed and afraid about his behavior as well. Is there any possibility that the Electoral College, which a lot of people are thinking that they were put there to keep this kind of person from becoming president, that they would come up with a different candidate, like maybe Mitt Romney or Nikki Haley or John Huntsman? I don't know, a more moderate Republican who is actually prepared to do this job and understands government and isn't out to destroy it and is not under the thumb of
Ken. Okay. Audrey, thank you. Ken, what about that?
I love the question from Audrey, because I've gotten emails like that nonstop basically since the election. When the Electoral College meets on December 19th, is it possible, is it feasible that enough electors, there would have to be 30 electors who broke away from Donald Trump, because right now Donald Trump has about 306 electoral votes, assuming nobody switches yet, 306. Does he do enough break away from him? The answer is absolutely not.
And
it's
the not
reason
happen,
is,
right?
I mean, it's not going to happen. Now, there was an elector in Texas who said, a Republican elector from Texas who said, I am not voting for Donald Trump. There were two electors, from the state of Washington, Washington, who said, I am not voting for Hillary Clinton because she's too hawkish or something. So every now and then, I mean, usually there's one, maybe there's two a year. This may be extraordinary circumstances, given how Audrey feels and others feel about Donald Trump. But having these Democratic groups trying to persuade Republican electors not to vote for Donald Trump, I mean, the way to have defeated Donald Trump was before November 8th and not on December 19th.
You know, Audrey might have heard, I did an interview last week with Richard Painter, who is the former chief ethics lawyer for George W. Bush. He's now a law professor at the U of M. And you know that he's aligned with another, I think, ethicist who is saying, you know, if Donald Trump doesn't resolve some of these conflicts of interest, they're focused on the business conflicts of interest. The electors should stand back and insist that he do this or not vote for him in the Electoral College. Again, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but they're trying to put pressure on Trump.
And that's ostensibly what the Electoral College is about, to have the final say. But of course, to say that 538 men and women decide who should be president as opposed to the 100 million who voted on November 8th.
Right.
But the point is, there are a lot of questions about Donald Trump. Yes, I'm going to release my tax returns. Yes, I'm going to let you know about my business interests, which he has not done, which he has no intention of doing. He says maybe I'll do it before the 2020 election. But of course, I read somewhere where he's going to cancel the 2020 elections. Look, the point is, so many things he said he's going to do, he has not done. And people are just trying to hold hope against hope that on December 19th, the miracle will happen. It will not happen.
Before everybody gets all annoyed or frightened here, Ken is kidding about the 2020 election. Right, Ken?
I was?
Yeah.
I was. Yeah.
Stop it. Yeah.
No, of course. Look. I mean, it's just... I mean, again, I listened to your segment about those who say there are two sides to this election and the people who said elections have consequences. And they do. The thing is, again, back to Audrey's point, What if Hillary Clinton campaigned in Wisconsin and Michigan? What if, you know, what if she didn't focus only on the inner cities and focus more in the Midwest and all these things? You know, so many what ifs. But again, that should have been resolved before November 8th. And according to Trump people and Republicans, it was resolved. And that's why December 19th, the recounts, the Jill Stein recounts and the Electoral College stuff is a nice pipe dream. Maybe the answer is unified opposition in the Senate to some of the cabinet picks. I mean, basically, if the 48 Democrats unite against, for example, Rex Tillerson, if indeed it is Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State, they would only need three Republicans to defeat the nomination.
Wow.
They're focusing on that as well.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask you about a different cabinet post that's not getting a lot of play, but I'm seeing that Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp might get Ag Secretary from North Dakota, and that would then likely make that seat Republican when they replace her. I mean, what must the Democrats in the Senate, the minority, be thinking about that? They're going to lose even more clout if that happens.
You know something? I mean, we've seen that in the past. Remember when President Clinton named Lloyd Bentsen as Secretary of the Treasury, and then there was an opening in Texas, and that was filled by the Republican Kay Bailey Hutchison. Donald Trump, if you notice, the three people he took from Congress, including Jeff Sessions of Alabama, all three are overwhelmingly likely to be succeeded by fellow Republicans. The Democrats would have a hissy fit, basically, if Heidi Heitkamp, who's been saying nice things about Donald Trump.
I know. It sounds like she wants the job, actually, Ken.
Well, you know something, I don't know. I mean, she's obviously not a typical Democrat, just like Lindsey Graham is not a typical Republican. She's showed a lot of independence. She doesn't vote the way Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer would like her to vote. But for goodness sake, she's from North Dakota, which is difficult to vote the way Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer would like. So
that's right.
She and Joe Manchin and other Democrats are saying probably nicer things about Donald Trump than other Democrats would like. But if she actually was appointed, took the appointment, you're absolutely right. With a Republican governor of North Dakota, that would be another Republican in the Senate.
So just real quickly, Ken, you've mentioned Trump's pick for Secretary of State. We talked about that at the beginning of our 9 o'clock hour. Is it your sense that this wasn't just a floating trial balloon, that is probably Donald Trump's choice?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. The fact is, even if it was a trial balloon, the reaction has not been good.
Right.
And of course, all these trial balloons have not come out so well either. Remember when the trial balloon of Mitt Romney, and then Kellyanne Conway goes, oh my God, no, we can't have Mitt Romney. So a lot of names, the Rudy Giulianis, the John Huntsman, they're thrown out there. But Trump says we'll get an announcement sometime this week.
I know, but he seems a little more serious about this.
He does.
One.
He does. And look, he's a businessman. He has close relations with Putin. He believes in oil exploration in Russia. Tillerson seems to be his kind of guy. But, you know, if there's tremendous opposition in the Senate, that could be a determining factor as well.
Ken, thank you. Talk to you soon.
I'll see you after the 2020 elections, which will happen.